We're going to look now at the other option we have for the second reading. Just look at 1 Corinthians, and now we're going to look at Romans 8, 8 to 17. If you don't mind, there'll be places in here when I'll be reading from a study that I've written that I haven't published yet. And if you publish it first, I'll sue you. No, I won't. Welcome to it. See, these lines that we have now in verse 8, and I want to start earlier so that you get a sense of where this fits. In the structure of Romans, we are at now the chapter toward which Paul has been moving since he started the letter. The letter to the Romans in verse 8, chapter 1, verse 18, really verse 16. See, I am not embarrassed or ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for every believer. The gospel, the evangelion, the reality of these words is what? It's the death and resurrection of the Son of God himself, who pours out the Holy Spirit himself. It's the work of the Trinity in us. That's the good news. You see? That's for Jew first, then Greek. And then he goes on to say that the righteousness of God has been revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just one, this is from the Dikaios, lives by, that's Habakkuk, lives by faith. And now, after having said that, he starts again back. And he starts by saying, you know, and that's the part I want to look at now. Starting with verse 18. I have a translation. Here it is, I think. No, that's not it either. I'll just have to read it out. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven on the injustice of men who, in this adikia, this injustice, suppress the truth. That is the sin. It's the sin of our age, to suppress the truth. Don't let reality witness to you as it can, because then you'll have to yield to God. And so this text, I'm going to, you know, is doing that part. But I want to go back a bit. That's how the letter starts. Over in chapter 8, starting with verse 8, which is, they're trying to save space, you know. Those who are in the flesh, what does that mean to be in the flesh? We've all got flesh. See, the flesh is that principle by which we are self-driven and attend to the self. On the physical, emotional, and spiritual levels, we are sarks. And why he started using this word sarks in this sense, commentators, probably because he saw, working, because it starts this kind of talk in a significant way, begins in the letter to the Galatians. And he says, look, you're all adopting circumcision. It's an act in your flesh coming from another dimension of your flesh, which is to control my salvation. You can't do it. It's a gift. So that's where he is now. You see? Starting with verse 8. Okay. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Why? Because they're being driven by all these flesh drives. Egomania, our touchiness, our competition, to say nothing of our sensuality and our emotionalism, that's all sarks. You see? That has to become under, doesn't destroy it, it has to come under the authority of the Spirit. And so he says, but those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that one does not belong to him, because it's the Spirit that joins us to Christ, okay? Now, he has talked about the wrath of God. You have to realize, God's not mad. The wrath of God is really what? It's this powerful outpouring of love, which is too much for us, and we run away from it. That's the wrath. It's not wrath at all. It's overwhelming love that we won't arrive at, we won't accept, we don't want, because it means losing this illusory autonomy that we have. And so we continue to feed the drives of pride, self-centeredness, sensuality, competition, hatred, murder, and all the rest, as he's going to talk about in a minute. So, if the Spirit of God is in you, then you're in the Spirit. If anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that one does not belong to him. If, however, Christ is in you, the body indeed is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of dikaiosyne, because of righteousness or justice. So if the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the Spirit of the Father dwells in you, he will also give life to your death-directed bodies because of his indwelling Spirit in you. This is the greatest chapter to talk about the presence and action of the Holy Spirit. And he's been getting to here. He starts way back to get here. When he begins, where's my Bible now? Here. He says, the wrath of God is revealed, is the word I'm sure he uses, but I'm going to look it up. Apokalyptite. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven on all lack of reverence, all lack of righteousness on men who, in their lack of righteousness, suppress the truth. That's the story of our age, my friends. Suppress the truth. How can you discover all these wonderful things about nature and not be in awe at the brilliance and the kindness of the Father? To suppress the truth. That's the sin, you see? And so that's what he's saying here, you see? The powerless of the law, and that it was rendered weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for the sake of sin, which is an allusion to a sin sacrifice, condemned sin in the flesh, so that the righteous works, a righteousness of the law, is fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now that is the challenge of the whole Christian life. To work, to walk, to live, to move, to think according to the Spirit. To be yielded. And what he tells us, this is possible. You can be moved at every moment of the day by the Holy Spirit if you want it. Now, it takes practice, and it takes years. Because first you have to die to sin, and sin is all over the place in us. It's in our body, in our minds, in our emotions, but we can overcome it by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the power of the cross, you see? So then he goes on, see, but those who are living, who are in the flesh, you see, thinking about the flesh, I'm waiting to see where I am in my text. So then, brothers, we are debted not to the flesh, so as to live according to flesh. For if you live according to flesh, you are going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the activity to the body, you will live. Then, Starting with verse 14, he starts, all those led, agonte, those are the sons, those are the children of God. Why? Because they respond to the Father, Theos is always the Father, God, you see? They respond to the Father the way Jesus does, you see? Very next line, all those moved, led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, just like Jesus, not divine, but so delicate that we yield to every wish of the Father. Isn't that the ambition of every Christian? To live like that? You see? And so that's what he's talking about here. You have not received a spirit of slavery to go back into fear again. You don't have to be afraid of anything anymore. Why? Because you have received the spirit of sonship, adoptive sonship, if you will, in whom we cry, Abba. Now, what does that mean? You know, in a way, until you experience this prayer of Jesus in you, you don't know. You can study about it. You know, it's a word in the Aramaic word of, in the emphatic state, Abba, and so forth, but you don't know what it means. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal to you what you mean when you say Abba. Why? Because when we say that word, we are praying with Jesus. This is what Jesus says to the Father. Abba. Throughout the whole of the Gospels, there's one text I always think of, you know, and as to the day or the hour, no one knows, only Abba. We translate it the Father, but no, it's Abba. You know, now it's a word, I know I've said, given this example before, but it helps as we're getting close to looking at this section. I was in a grocery store in Jerusalem, and I was in an aisle like everybody, but there was a young little boy, maybe 3, 4, I guess, maybe 5, in the same aisle. All of a sudden, he looked around and he couldn't find his dad. So what did he cry out? Abba! Abba! Ephphatha! Where are you? And dad, young fella, was in just the next aisle. He leans over and says, Ani po, in baya. I'm right here, no problem. But as I looked at that child saying Abba and trusting that his father would come to him, I said, that's Jesus. That's the way Jesus relates to the Father, and that's the way he wants us to relate to the Father. That's why, because we are sons, it says in Galatians, you see, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts crying, Abba. That we pray for, my friends, because that's the secret of this whole second reading, you see, that you would be, He witnesses to our spirit that we are the children of God. What a privilege to know by experience that we are the children of God. That is the grace. And you know, it's a specific grace for this feast day. It's the gift of this feast day is to have the Holy Spirit put into us that trust, love, and affection for the Father, which is divine, and a share in Jesus's. And that is the gift of the Spirit.